we got rid of them, things like this wouldn't happen. Sazed nodded. Then, oddly, the crowd began to grow restless, shuffling about, murmuring. And Sazed felt himself agreeing with them. Something needed to be done about this atrocity. Why did nobody fight? Quellian stood there, surrounded by his proud men in red. Sazed gritted his teeth, growing angry.
Orianne, dear, Breeze said, this isn't the time.
Sazed started. He turned, glancing at the young woman. She was crying. By the forgotten gods, Sazed thought, finally recognizing her touch on his emotions, rioting them to make him angry at Quellian. She's as good as Breeze is.
Why not? She said. He deserves it. I could make this crowd rip him apart.
And his second in command would take control, Breeze said. Then execute these people. We haven't prepared enough.
It seems that you're never done preparing, Breeze, she snapped.
These things require...
Wait, Sazed said, raising a hand. He frowned, watching the building. One of the building's boarded windows, one high in a peaked attic section on top of the roof itself, seemed to be shaking.
Look, Sazed said. There!
Breeze raised an eyebrow.
Perhaps our flame god is about to make his appearance, eh?
He smiled at what he obviously found a ridiculous concept.
I wonder what we were supposed to learn during this revolting little experience. Personally, I think the men who sent us here didn't know what they...
One of the planks suddenly flew off of the window, spinning in the air, swirling smoke behind it. Then the window burst outward. A figure in dark clothing leaped through the shattering mess of boards and smoke, landing on the rooftop. His long cloak actually appeared to be on fire in places, and he carried a small bundle in his arms. A child. The figure rushed along the top of the burning rooftop, then leaped off the front of the building, trailing smoke as he fell to the ground. He landed with the grace of a man burning pewter, not stumbling despite the two-story fall, his burning cloak billowing out around him. People backed away, surprised, and Quellian spun in shock. The man's hood fell back as he stood upright. Only then did Sazed recognize him. Spook stood tall, seeming in the sunlight to be older than he really was. Or perhaps Sazed had never looked at him as anything but a child until that moment. Either way, the young man regarded Quellian proudly, eyes wrapped with a blindfold, his body smoking as he held the coughing child in his arms. He didn't seem the least bit intimidated by the troop of 20 soldiers that surrounded the building. Breeze cursed quietly.
Orianne, we're going to need that riot after all.
Sazed suddenly felt a weight pressing against him. Breeze soothed away his distracting emotions, his confusion, his concern, and left Sazed, along with the crowd, completely open to Orianne's focused burst of enraged anger. The crowd exploded with motion, people crying out in the name of the survivor, rushing the guards. For a moment, Sazed feared that Spook wouldn't take the opportunity to run. Despite the strange bandage on Spook's eyes, Sazed could tell that the boy was staring straight at Quellian, as if in challenge. Fortunately, however, Spook finally turned away. The crowd distracted the advancing soldiers, and Spook ran on feet that seemed to move far too quickly. He ducked down an alleyway, carrying the girl he had rescued, his cloak trailing smoke. As soon as Spook had a safe head start, Breeze smothered the crowd's will to rebel, keeping them from getting themselves cut down by the soldiers. The people backed away, dispersing. The citizens' soldiers, however, stayed close around their leader. Sazed could hear frustration in the citizen's voice as he called for the inevitable retreat. He couldn't spare more than a few men to chase down Spook, not with the potential of a riot. He had to get himself to safety. As soldiers marched away, Breeze turned an eye toward Sazed.
Well, he noted, that was somewhat unexpected.
I think that the Koloss were more intelligent than we wanted to give them credit for being. For instance, originally, they used only spikes the Lord Ruler gave them to make new members.
He would provide the metal and the unfortunate Scar captives, and the Kolos would create new recruits. At the Lord Ruler's death, then, the Kolos should quickly have died out. This was how he had designed them. If they got free from his control, he expected them to kill themselves off and end their own rampage. However, they somehow made the deduction that spikes in the bodies of fallen Kolos could be harvested, then reused. They then no longer required a fresh supply of spikes. I often wonder what effect the constant reuse of spikes had on their population. A spike can only hold so much of a hemologic charge, so they could not create spikes that granted infinite strength, no matter how many people those spikes killed and drew power from. However, did the repeated reuse of spikes perhaps bring more humanity to the Kolos they made? 42. When Marsh entered Luthadel, he was far more careful than he had been when he'd entered the nameless town at the western border of the Dominance. An inquisitor moving through the capital of Ellen's empire would not go unreported and might draw undue attention. The emperor was gone, and he had left his playground open to be used by others. No need to spoil that. So Marsh moved at night, hooded cloak up, burning steel and jumping about on coins. Even so, seeing the magnificent city, sprawling, dirty, yet still home, was hard for the watching, waiting part of Marsh. Once Marsh himself had run the Ska Rebellion in this city, he felt responsible for its occupants, and the thought of ruin doing to them what he'd done to the people of the other town, the one where the ash mount had blown. There was no ash mount that close to Luthadel. Unfortunately, there were things ruin could do to a city that didn't involve natural forces. On his way to Luthadel, Marsh had stopped at no fewer than 4 villages where he had secretly killed the men guarding their food stores, then set fire to the buildings that contained them. He knew that the other inquisitors went about the world committing similar atrocities as they searched for the thing ruin desired above all others, the thing preservation had taken from him. He had yet to find it. Marsh leaped over a street, landing atop a peaked rooftop, running along its edge and making his way toward the northeastern side of the city. Luthadel had changed during the year since he'd last seen it. The Lord Ruler's forced labor projects had brutalized the Ska, but had kept things clean of ash and given even the oversized city a sense of order. There was none of that now.